The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to some really, really cracking action at Lingfield, Ascot and Haydock on Saturday are my Racing Post colleagues, Robbie Wilders and Mark Boylan. Here's what we've got. We've got the Derby and the Oaks Trial from Lingfield, plus two other races from there. Ascot's feature races, the Victoria Cup, 28 runners over 7 furlongs. Good luck solving that. And then we've also got three others at Ascot. We've got Swinton Hurdle at Haydock. And we'll see what else the chaps fancy on Saturday. We'll get the naps. And there's also some good racing at Leopardstown on Sunday. And Mark will hopefully have one or two good things for us there. We'll start, though, with Lingfield. 2:05 on Saturday. It's the 7 furlong SBK handicap. No prices available just yet. So we've got seven runners. No each way opportunities, unfortunately. But is there any value? We'll start with Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, I quite like on it, Bruce, actually. Ex Gracia for Jane Chappell Higham. It's quite a lightly raced filly. I was interested a couple of starts ago. She was chucked right in at the deep end in a really good sprint at Newcastle. You had the likes of Venturous, Judicial, Memento running there. And she was quite strong in the market that day. She had absolutely no right to be. But she didn't shape too badly. And then on her next start at Lingfield on her handicap debut, she's got absolutely no run whatsoever. She was held up off a slow pace, couldn't find any sort of splits. But so I think this is a filly that could be quite well handicapped still off the same mark of 80. And she's opened up about 8-1. So, yeah, that'll do me.
Excellent. Let's say hello to Mark Boylan, the beautiful, that lovely voice over there in Ireland. I haven't spoke to you for ages, Mark. Are you well? Did you enjoy Punchestown last week?
Absolutely, Bruce. Just about recovered. We're back on steady ground again. But a mighty week. If you didn't enjoy that, now this isn't the game for you, is it?
Absolutely not. Well, it's more flat focus now. So what have you got in the 205 at Lingfield, Mark?
Yeah, look, I'd be cautious with stakes in this one. This isn't the easiest contest to solve the weekend, but I liked Ajrad down the bottom. A little bit tricky. Look at the overall strike rate. Wouldn't encourage it, but just thought the last stake and draw a line through that run. At Yarmouth that day, you just needed to be on that near side rail. Try to make a challenge out in the centre. Absolutely waste the time the way it panned out and the way the races were unfolding then. He was 77 around this time last year. He's down to 65 now. I thought his previous run at Lingfield was encouraging. Look, at pace-wise here, it could get a little bit messy. We have Al Geed as a non-runner. That would have probably brought some assurance in that regard. But Ajrad just might be a little bit of value at the likely prices. Think there might be a race in him off this sort of mark, but he's been tricky to catch right just far.
OK, next up is the Derby Trial, sponsored by SBK. It's at 2:40. And Walk of Stars is vying for second favouritism for the Derby and is 10-11 with Boyle Sports here. They go 9-2 Natural World and 9-2 United Nations, 15-2 Zechariah and 10 Lionel. Mark, I'm struggling to see why on earth Walk of Stars is so sure, A, for this and B, for the Derby. What am I missing?
You know what, Bruce? I really like the horse, but I'm the same as you. It tells you a lot, I think, a lot about the Derby picture at present, that he is that price. It is really open, like even changing the guard range during the week, how quickly he slots into a prominent position in the bet. And I think that tells you the sort of year we're looking at beyond Luxembourg. It's so wide open. I would kind of half like this horse as a lively outsider in the Derby, but not at his price, not at kind of borderline 10-1. So look, I think he'll probably go and win here. I think he's going to improve for this sort of setup. You know, of the two Godolphin calls, I quite like the other one that won first him up Natural World. But this guy just looks to have achieved a little bit more about him. He's going to need to come forward again. But for all that United Nations is a nice horse, I don't think Aidan O'Brien sends his best ones here. He has sent some smart ones in the past, Anthony Van Dyke, etc. But I don't think he's the very, very top of the Ballydoyle tree. So give me Walk of Stars. But at the likely price, I don't see him as great value, to be quite honest.
No, I don't either. Do you, Robbie?
Nah, not at all. I can't believe he's even money here, really. I mean, I know he's beaten Hafit at Newbury in pretty decent style, but he's only just got there by a neck. And Hafit has been kind of a disappointing horse compared to his price tag. Yeah, I want to take him on. But like Mark, I'm not 100% with United Nations. O'Brien doesn't tend to race his best ones in that Epsom trial. And I think he's got a bit to find. I was surprised how big a price Zakaria was. I mean, he's beaten Westover pretty comfortably at Newbury as a juvenile over a mile. I always think horses that stay a mile so well as juveniles are going to get a mile and a half. And, you know, he's a son of Nathaniel. I mean, I think he's going to really relish his chance to 3.5 furlongs. And I thought his Craven run behind Native Trail wasn't bereft of promise. I mean, he was a bit too keen, but that run is going to put him spot on for this. He'll be second in the Guineas. And you've got Star of India there, one at Chester in midweek. So, yeah, Zakaria could run what a big price, I'd say.
Okay, Oaks, let's move on to the Oaks trial again, sponsored by SBK. It's at 3:15 on Saturday. And Aidan O'Brien has the fav here in Emily Dickinson. Boyle Sports go 13-8. They are then 4-1 Belt Buckle for the Gozzers, 6-1 Rogue Millennium, 7-1 for Man of the Moment Mystic, also trained by George Bowie, who, of course, won the 1,000 Guineas last Sunday, 10-1 Speak, and 12-1 Bar. Have you got a strong fancy here, Robbie?
Yeah, I think this is a weak race, Bruce. I'm looking through the field. I'm not really seeing any stars at the moment. I mean, a lot of horses are quite lowly rated for a race of this type. I think Emily Dickinson will just get the job done here. I mean, she's
33-1 for the Oaks, I think, isn't she?
Yeah, I'm surprised at that, actually. That could be very interesting. I could see her being slashed into half of this. I think this is quite a weak trial. I mean, she was a real eye-catcher, actually, behind Above the Curve and Thoughts of June in that Leopardstown Maiden when you watch that back. I mean, she was actually making up the best ground from the rear that day. Handled quite tenderly, I thought. She's got the job done in the Maiden Company again. After that, Nace. And I mean, she's out of an Irish Oaks winner. She's by the Barway. She's gonna want this trip, I think. And yeah, there's lots to like. I mean, O'Brien's been cleaning up in these trials. So I think Emily Dickinson should get the job done.
Do you echo those thoughts, Mark Boylan?
Yeah, very much so. I think she's the one to beat here. Looking down through it, there's not great depth to it. You know, even ratings alone, there aren't horses that are jumping off the page at you. I just think that she did really, really well to win last time at Nace. Like, we see Aidan's a lot of the time learning on the job. And she very, very much was doing that there. I thought it was a sign of real natural ability that got her there. Like, she traded pretty big in running, if memory serves me right. And obviously out of Chiquita, who, for all her ability, was a bit daft as well. But I think she'll keep improving with racing Emily Dickinson. I think she'll be good enough to win this.
Excellent. And our final TV race at Lingfield on Saturday is the 3:50. 7 furlongs is the trip for the SBK Chartwell Filly Stakes. It's a Group 3. And we've got a 11-4 favourite in She Do for Roger Varian with Boyle Sports. Boyle Sports also go 3-1 Chocoya, 11-2 Symphony Perfect, 6 Wren's Breath, 7 Thunder Beauty, 7 Pearl Glory, and 18 Bar. Mark Boylan, lead on. This looks kind of tricky to me.
Yeah, it's trappy, Bruce. But She Do is probably the most solid of them. I think, provided she's sharp enough, first time up, first start since October, I think she's probably the best horse here. And the way she hit the line over 6, you'd imagine returning to 7 is going to be no issue. She beat Gale Force May on that occasion, has gone on and franked the form, won a handicap on her next start. So, look, I just think it's a bit of a wishy-washy race. Chicoya is one that you can see, you can make the case there. But I think this stepping back to 7 is going to suit She Do more. So, give me She Do for Roger Varian, who's in good form at the moment.
Don't normally get too many Henry de Bromhead runners in this race, do you, Mark? What do you make of Wren's Breath?
Yeah, she's interesting. I don't value the form of her listed win at Nace overly highly. That's what's held me back a small bit. I'd say she'll be sharp enough to come here. I take it as a sign of intent from Henry that he is bringing her over. Now, look, she's won a listed race. This is a Group 3. Chance to get more black type. Can definitely see the case for why they have a crack at it. But nice filly, but just I'd like to see her go and do it at this level and see where she fits in. For all, it isn't the hottest Group 3 in the world. I think that she will... We'll know more about her level after this. I'm just not convinced that she's a real belong in this company just yet. She's nice, but hasn't really got me.
Jolly good. Robbie, how do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, slightly different opinions from Mark on this. I thought She Do was a little bit short in the betting here, really. I mean, I don't know if it was kind of like an error from our reporter, but She Do was never mentioned in a Roger Varian stable tour we did recently. I thought that
was... Oh. He's thrown your colleague under the bus there, haven't you?
No, but it might not be. I mean, surely Barry would have said something if he thought, you know, this is a filly that needs mentioning. But I'm looking through the form and I'm not really seeing enough that suggests that she should be a short price favourite here. For me, yeah, I like Wren's Breath. What was interesting as well, I've read the analysis of the Nace listed race she won on her second start. And she's actually blind in one eye, so she can't properly see. But that doesn't seem to have impaired her too much on the track. And yeah, I mean, any horse who can win a listed race on their second start is obviously talented. I mean, and that performance on RPRs is actually the best in this race, and she's the most likely race runner. I thought the Doncaster run in September, third start, I think the ground might have been a bit too quick, and she kind of hung her chance away there. She hung to the right there, and that made her end up on the wrong part of the track. So I think we could see a more professional performance now she's 4 years old. And yeah, I think she's probably the one to beat for me.
I can't wait to find out who did the Roger Varian stable tour. I'm going to grass you up.
They've been absolutely done here, haven't they?
That's unbelievable, wasn't it?
I shouldn't have mentioned report or error. No need for it, was there?
Well, not really. I mean, we're all one team here, mate. Okay, that was Lingfield. Let's do Ascot next.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders and Mark Boylan. And we've just had some breaking news relating to the Derby. The aforementioned favourite Luxembourg has just been reported by his trainer Aidan O'Brien to have suffered a setback, and it is unclear whether he will be okay to participate in the race. So that throws the Derby picture wide open. Right then, let's concentrate now on four races at Ascot on ITV, starting with the 1:45 on Saturday. It's the Royal Ascot Local Schools Art Competition Handicap. By me. Boyle Sports goes 6-1 the field here. That is Flying Solo, favourite for David Munizier. 13-2 Screaming Petrus. 8-1 Mascat. 9-1 Just Hubert. 9-1 Juan de Montalban and HMS President. And it's 10-1 Bar. Mark Boylan, you go first. This looks tough. Thankfully, Boyle Sports are offering 5 places, but I suspect we're going to need them.
Yeah, I'll avail them here. And the horse that you gave a more extravagant pronunciation than I ever could, Juan de Montalban, that's the one I like here. HMS President is probably second on my shortlist. But Juan de Montalban last year started brightly. You know, he's actually second in an Italian Derby. And the winner of that, he went on to be second to Bolshoi Ballet in a Belmont Grade 1. I'm not saying it's absolutely knock your socks off for him, but in the context of this race, that looks pretty okay. Think strongly around 1.5 is what he's wanting. He'll get it here. You know, and last season, just towards the end of it, his form did taper off, but he started early. He ran for 3 different stables, international travel. I just think it was the end of a long season when you saw him. But a very, very solid comeback run, and he's a pound lower here. That race couldn't have worked out any better. Like, the winner, Get Shorty, ran well, ripping off a higher mark. He just wasn't suited by how the race panned out. The runner-up is going to beat Tritonic in a Newmarket Handicap. The third won well next time. The fifth went and won 2 starts later. A couple of others have come out and run well. I like this, the form of that. I liked what he showed as well. And a 4-year-old here, just get the impression he could have a little bit more to come than some of these. This race has tended to favour 4-year-olds in general as well. So Juan de Montalban for me, with a bit of each-way value, I'll definitely take that.
Excellent. That's a real French lesson when you say the horse and the trainer, isn't it? Well, I'm not even going to attempt that. Who do you like here, Rob?
I thought Mascat caught the eye a little bit. It was a good first start for the Tizards at Epsom the other day. I thought that was quite a good little race for the grade. I know Going and Gone, the winner, is quite well regarded. And the third, Solon Gateway, is running in the Chester Cup later, quite well fancy for that. He is quite well handicapped on his back form for Rafe Beckett. But yeah, I mean, a rare flat runner for the Tizards. I could see him getting off the mark here. And Reece Clutterbuck claims the £3 off. That negates his £2 rise. So yeah, there's a lot to like about Mascot, I think.
Okay, next up is the 220 rather at Ascot. 1.5 miles is the trip for the Carey Group Buckhound Stakes. It's a listed race. Al Arzi, who looked so fast at the start of last season and so slow at the end of last season, is fav at 13-8. With Boyle Sports, Stowell is 3-1. Then it's 100-33rd realm. They dominate the market. It's 10 bar. Robbie, who wins the Buckhounds?
Yeah, if there was rain around, I'd be really interested in third realm. I mean, his Lingfield Derby trial win on soft ground, he beat Adair, he beat Kit Peros, an Ascot Gold Cup contender this year, Scope on a Group 1 later in the season. I thought that was excellent form. But I don't think he's the same animal on quicker ground. It looks like he's going to be good at Ascot. So I think Al Arzi will probably be too good. I mean, he is the best horse in the race on the figures by about £8. He can be quite a frustrating customer, but he has been gelded. I'm hoping he might be a bit more professional this season. And the fact that he won first time out last year gives me a little bit of hope. So, yeah, he probably should win.
Robbie's going for the favourite. Who are you going for, Mark?
Geez, Al Arzi, I wouldn't trust him in a match. He's a bigger monkey than Robbie Wilders for throwing the variance reporter under the bus this morning.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, I mean, he's got so much ability. I actually thought early season that he could, before he got the snips, that he could be a half contender for an arc. So his career went really, really badly wrong, considering what I thought he could do earlier in the year. Look, best horse here. Just have trust issues. I think Stoll is the one that may have more to come. Wouldn't have been fully revved up at Newbury first time up this season, but still shaped lovely. You know, I think he'd prefer a greater test of stamina. That's the only thing, but he likes this track. Won a maiden here, third in the Queen's Vans. I think he's the more solid of the two for all he needs to step up, but he could have that little bit of step up in him this season. If Alazi has one of his Alazi days, who knows what could happen. So look, it's a race I'd treat with caution, but if you put me head in the chopping block, Stoll might just be me pick.
Jolly good. Robbie's obviously a very forgiving kind because he's forgiven those bad runs towards the back end of last year. Let's just hope the reporter who did the Roger Verian stable tour is the forgiving kind as well. 3:30 at Ascot, a mile for the British EBF Fillies handicap. Strawberry 4-1 fav for the Verians with Boyle Sports. Then it's 5-1 Delta Boy, 6-1 Spirit of the Bay, 13-2 Stunning Beauty, 7 Aurea, 15-2 Rising Star, 9 Don't Tell Claire, and 10-1 Soft Whisper and Serenade. You get a full show simply to highlight just how closely matched these are on the market. Will that be reflected on the track, Mark Boylan?
Yeah, it's messy. It's messy now. Look, Strawberry was the one that I came down on. Just thought she was more unexposed than most of these. Could have a little bit more improvement to come. I'd like her to have had a recent run, and I probably would like her to have a little bit of more of an ease in the ground, but she's fine on this still. Think this is her trip. Think there's enough boxes you can take. 8-7, stable going well. She'll just do it for me, but yeah, very, very trappy race.
Is that how you see it, Robbie?
Delta Bay okay. For me. I'm going to make a case. I think it's quite interesting she's been kept in training at four. I mean, she's owned by prominent owner breeder Helena Springfield. She's a filly. She's already won a maiden. This is her first run in nearly 15 months. I mean, she's off a mark of 83. I think she's probably just going to be a bit better than that. I can't imagine they've kept her in training unless they're trying to win a bit of black type of her. I mean, she was sent off a 7-2 shot for a conditions race at Ascot last April. I mean, she didn't run any sort of race there. She clearly wasn't right. Wasn't seen since. But there's a horse here, Aurea, who's a similar price. She reposes off of stone better terms today. And the Newmarket maiden she won previously has worked out quite well. So I'd imagine that she's quite a bit better than a mark of 83. I mean, you're taking it a bit on trust, but I just think the fact she's still knocking around suggests she probably is a bit better than that rating.
Excellent. And now what I consider to be the toughest of the 9 ITV races, ITV4 races on Saturday, it's the 405 at Ascot, the Tote Victoria Cup. Over 7 furlongs, 28 runners. Boyle Sports give us 6 places. We're going to need them. They bet 15-2 Dark Shift, 8 Fresh, 12 One Ruler, 12 Path of Thunder, 12 Magic Morning, 12 Chief of Chiefs, 12 Vafortino, 14-1 Good Old Accidental Agents, 14 Aratus, and 16 Bar. Goodness me, Robbie. How many goes could you have of this and not get the winner, do you think?
Yeah, awfully tough. 27 runners. In this kind of race, I'm after 2 darts.
Okay.
The first one is Aratus. I mean, all credit to the reporter because he was mentioned in the Clive Cox stable tour recently. Cox was quite enthusiastic about him. He was disappointed on his return in the King Richard III Stakes at Leicester, undoubtedly. But, I mean, he completely pulled his chance away. He just couldn't settle. There was no pace whatsoever. This kind of setup, big field, is going to play to his strengths. And he was a really progressive 3-year-old. I'd like to think he's potentially a pattern performer. I think he's going to go well. And the other dart I want is Fresh. Short price, but his record at Ascot and big field handicaps is absolutely mustard. He's 2-1-2-3 in double figure fields at Ascot. Really good comeback at Kempton. He shaped like the best horse that day. He made so much late ground. RPR 105 last time, off the mark of 98. I find it hard to keep those two out of the frame.
Fresh and Aratus for Robbie. Mark, who are your fancies, or have you just nailed it down to one?
Well, I actually, this morning, as I was kind of revising things, I had 3 in a shortlist. I said, right, I'll put up 2 here if I'm allowed to have 2. And of the 3, Robbie has mentioned 2. So Aratus was on my list as well, for sure. Adam Kirby, Clive Cox, record in this race is a positive as well. Just thought it was so messy, that last run, willing to forgive it. And rather than Fresh, though, who would have been probably number 3 on my list, Chief of Chiefs was one I was thinking really, really had a chance, down to his lowest mark since he won the Silver Wokingham in 2020. So much course form here that would appeal to you. And just draw-wise, I mean, have a look at this. You know, traditionally speaking, it seems like you'd want to be kind of mid to stand side. And pace-wise, I'd imagine it won't be a million miles off that again. He's in 23. He shouldn't have many excuses. I prefer him over 7 than a 6. I thought maybe 6 last season might have been up his street, but I think this is what's going to suit him pretty well. You know, he's just mustered on this track, so give me Chief of Chiefs and Aratus for my two each way pegs at the board.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, gents. Now, there's something for Jumps fans as well, because up at Haydock, it's one of the highlights of the summer Jumps programme. It's the Potemps Network Swinton Handicap Hurdle. It takes place at 3 o'clock, over 2 miles. And as always, it's a competitive heat. You get five places from Boyle Sports, who make West Cork 5-1 favourite. Anna Bonina is 11-2. Luttrell Ladd is 7. And then it's 9 Severance, 10 Milkwood, 10 Sebastopol, 10 Cormier, 10 Herbier, and 16 Bar. Mark, I guess the first starting point in terms of your form study is the Scottish Champion Hurdle, isn't it? Anna Bonina beat West Cork by a length, but West Cork has a £3 pull. Is that the crucial bit of form for you, or do you think those two can be beaten?
It's funny because I actually quite like the Aintree Handicap Hurdle, the Conditional Riders / Amateur Riders Handicap Hurdle at Aintree as a guide to this race in general. You had Copperless last year, who was tanking, fell two out in that race, and then came here and won. You know, there have been other horses like Chesterfield has gone on from there to here. John Constable fell out the last in that race and then came and won here. There's a few like that. War Sound, even back through the years, would have run that same handicap before coming here. And Severance was second in that race. But I suppose the timing of Aintree and Ayr this year, where you have Ayr coming before Aintree, perhaps the Scottish Champion Hurdle horses might be at a benefit. So I do think as well, the booking of Mark McDonough, £5 claimer for Anna Bonina, he's a guy that has just improved. He's night and day from, I think, you know, 18 months ago, a year ago, to how he is now, riding with loads of confidence. You probably know him best in Britain from having won the Martin Pipe for Joseph O'Brien on Banbridge this season. But I think the £5 booking there to negate the £5 rise is really, really, it's a good move from John McConnell. But I just thought Severance, he's a little bit frustrated. Maybe I'm falling into the David Jennings trap of being too forgiving. But second start after a wind up, I thought he came home really well at Aintree. He got a bit of class from the flat. I think he was ran to, you know, figures in the 95-96 bracket on the flat previously. He's here off 1-2-8 over hurdles. Some of his form earlier in the season, even with Cormier, who went and won the Moor battle, I think that's fairly solid in the context of this race. Decent ground is going to be up his street. I just think kind of double figure pricey makes sense. But yeah, I am respectful of that Scottish Champion Hurdle form, particularly how the timing of the races have unfolded this year.
Okay, Mark likes Severance. Robbie likes.
Yeah, I like the Scottish Champion Hurdle form, but I want to side with the horse you did mention there, Milkwood, who's fifth. I mean, that another race again that was run at a pretty slow gallop, and Milkwood was just so badly positioned. He was held up last. He did make a bit of inroads in the end. But, I mean, he's been dropped £2 for that run. Anna Bonina's gone up 5. West Cork's gone up 2. I could just see this being running at a better pace, and that brings a lot of them closer together. And he's about 10-1. And the fact that that was his first run in 10 months after chasing didn't work out suggests to me that I think he could run better this time. And I also like the fact that he's only £1 higher than when he was second in the Galway Hurdle. I think that was a better race than this. So, yeah, I think Milkwood should outrun his odds at 10-1.
Thank you, gents. That's the TV action. More Wise Weekend Wagers coming right up.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Okay, we've done the ITV4 action on Saturday, and let's see now what Mark and Robbie fancy elsewhere. We've obviously got the rest of Haydock, Ascot and Lingfield. They're racing in Naas and Cork, Hexham and Nottingham, and we've also got Warwick and Thirsk in the evening, plus the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. That takes place at 11:57, 3 minutes before midnight. Okay, Robbie, the floor is yours. Don't give your nap away, but let us know what else you like.
I actually don't really like anything else. I've had a look, but I kind of prefer the TV races for betting.
Jolly good. What about you, Mark? Have you unearthed anything for us?
My nap is at Naas on Saturday, so I better keep that up my sleeve till the end if that's what we're supposed to do. Leopardstown is good on Sunday as well. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, tell us about Leopardstown on Sunday. What's going on there?
Yeah, we've got some classic trials coming up. The race previously known as the Darrenstown, now just known as the Derby Trial. That's going to be interesting. You've got French Claim, who was so impressive for Paddy Toomey at Cork, trying to rubber stamp his Epsom or Curra credentials. And Stone Age, who really, really blew the field away in a maiden he was entitled to win. at Navan about 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. I really like him for Aidan O'Brien too. We got the 1,000 trial as well. I think it's called the Cornell's Court or something like that. Agartha, this is the 405, if anyone's looking at the cards. Agartha is going to be the highest rated here. And Panama Red, an Irish Champions Weekend winner, really interesting. But the one, if I had to put me nail my colours to the mast for a potential bet on the card, I think Yashin, trained by Jessica Harrington, stepping up to a mile and a half. He runs in the 3:35. It's a three-year-old handicap. There's a few likely improvers and things like that, but I think this guy is every chance to improve as much as them when he's going from a mile to a mile and a half. Just think it's really going to suit him. I know it probably wasn't the best maiden that you've ever seen run at Leopardstown that he was fourth in last time, but there was still a couple of fancy ones in there, and I just like the way he went about it. He showed promise on debut last season behind Bluegrass of Aidan O'Brien's in a maiden at the Curragh. I thought that was a nice run. He didn't quite back it up at Punchestown in a messy race. But I think now he runs a first handicap start off a mark of 78. I'd be very, very disappointed if he wasn't extremely competitive. So I suppose the Sunday, Yashin for me in the 3:35 at Leopardstown.
Thank you very much, gents. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Start with Mark Boylan.
Yes, Bruce, I like Éclat de Lumière for Dermot Weld. Runs in the 3:25 at Naas on Saturday. The Blue Wind Stakes, a race that Dermot has won so many times before. And I just really, really loved the way this filly went and won on debut at the Curragh last August. By Sea the Stars, the Moyglare family, really nice. But I thought on the day it was a lovely performance. And I came away thinking, oh, this could be a proper three-year-old filly for next season. But the way the race has worked out has would have done nothing but enhance that kind of confidence. I know Jessica Harrington really likes her runner-up, Benetois, pivotal filly, who didn't really have a clear run on the day. But look down through the field, you have the likes of Affogato, Script Writer, King XJ, Dancing Rebel, Sussex, Chaos Control. They've all come out and won races since, most of them maidens. And, you know, it looks like one of those really, really strong Curragh maiden pieces of form. And this race, for all that there are some interesting types in it, the likes of Lily Pond for Aidan O'Brien, and there's another filly down the bottom there, two of Joseph O'Brien, Tuss and Lydia and Tranquil Lady, who have a little bit more experience to go on. I think in terms of natural potential to be a really, really proper group filly this season, Éclat de Lumière is bang up there. So provided she's sharp enough on her first start since winning a maiden, I'll take Dermot Weld to enhance his record in the race. Éclat de Lumière in the 3:25 at Naas on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark. Rob?
3:30 Ascot Delta Bay. Essentially, just to conclude, I think it's very interesting that she's been kept in training for No Need To as a maiden winner, and that maiden's worked out well. I think she's on a good mark, and they're probably going to be reaching for much higher targets than a handicap off a mark of 83 in time.
Lovely. Thank you very much to Mark and to Rob. The Derby picture, as we've just told you, is now slightly cloudier with the setback that Luxembourg has encountered, so it's going to make the weekend even more fascinating. I hope you back a few winners, hope you bet responsibly and enjoy some sunshine. Most of all, hope you can join Maddie and the gang on Monday, and we're back next Friday for more postcasts.